As many of you are aware, it is the heart of Little League and soccer season. Those days when children get their first experience of playing on a team, learning the rules and listening to their coach. Do you remember that first voice spoken into your ear as you stood at home plate or learned to pass the soccer ball or score a goal or whatever similar situation you share in your past? Unlike the actual game, when coaches call out from the sidelines, in practice, the coaches are right behind the children, teaching, reinforcing those fundamentals of the game, squaring their shoulders, positioning the bat, watching the ball through the kick, watching where you will pass the ball. Chances are, if you still play the game, you still hear the echo of that first coaching voice in your head. Some voices stay with us forever. What voices have spoken into your life? Can you still hear them? There are voices of encouragement that urge us to keep trying, keep working, keep doing what we know is right. There are also those voices we hear that accuse us of not being good enough, of not deserving anything better than what we're getting. The voices we listen to in our heart and soul can strengthen us or shatter us, push us forward or pull us down. The power of the voice we ultimately answer to can determine the destiny and the direction of our lives. In today's text from John, it is the power and authority of Jesus' voice that transforms the life of one man. It is also the voice that challenges the preconceptions of many others. Jesus is in Jerusalem for one of Judaism's many annual festivals, and he does not settle himself among the other pious pilgrims. Instead, he wanders north to the Sheep Gate and the healing pool that is found there. The Sheep Gate was a place that showcased human frailty and misery. Among all the ill and incapacitated, Jesus' eyes goes to a man who has been suffering with illness and infirmity for 38 years. It is to that individual that Jesus turns his attention and voices his offer. Do you want to be made well? Well, do you? Do you want to be made well? This may seem like a ridiculous question. Of course, this ill man lying on the ground waiting for something or someone to stir up some healing waters he can bathe in wants to be well. But where is this man's family? Where are those who might have helped him make it to those waters when they were agitated by the angels? Somehow he is getting food. Somewhere he is offered shelter. But his identity has shrunk to the man on the mat. He is no longer a son or a father or a husband or a pious man. His identity is that of an invalid. Does he truly want to be healed of that long-held self-identity? We all have voices in our heads that tell us good things and accuse us of bad things. We all have voices in our heads that encourage us to greatness or implode us to despair. Today, Jesus' voice offers a startling new sound. The unexpected. A completely new possibility. Jesus' voice does not offer advice. Jesus' voice does not offer judgment. Jesus' voice offers nothing less than the possibility of transformation. Jesus' vocal offer to the man languishing by the healing pool is a call to wholeness and health. Jesus' voice commands all those who are frail and failing to listen up, to rise up and walk. Jesus' voice is individually directed towards all of us, for all of us are in need. Have you heard that voice? Can you still hear that voice? The power of a voice is both in its projection and in its reception. The reality show, The Voice, first focuses on the purity of the verbal talent being projected. The celebrity judges, all big name popular music success story, listen to contestants with their backs turned. With no eye candy distracting them, the judges hit their yes button based solely on the quality of the voice. It is the only part of the competition that I watch. Later in the competition, these judges have to pit their personal choices against each other. But before the competition, they act as personal coaches for their chosen singers. And even as they are pitting their favorite picks against each other, these celebrity coaches are encouraging these singers to find their own voice, to make the song they are singing their own song, no matter who wrote it, no matter the style. Coaching voices to find and claim ownership of a single song is enticing to a TV audience. Coaching each new generation of Christ's disciples to hear Jesus' voice in every aspect of our lives, to hear Jesus in every song we sing, is an ongoing, transforming reality. Hearing the voice of God is proclaimed by the voice of Jesus, is what makes us disciples of the living God. Have you heard that voice? Can you still hear that voice? Hearing the voice also makes us coaches, whispering voices in the ears of the next generation of disciples. In the Voice reality show, the contestants are coached by big star singers, Shakira, Usher, Blake, Adam, and many more. But as the competition crescendos, even those superstars bring in their own coaches, drawing on their own musical roots and remnants to shore up their star quality coaching. In the real world, not the reality world, disciple coaches call on a great cloud of witnesses. We listen to Jesus' voice and impart what we hear and know to the next generation. But as disciples, we are also part of a great cloud, a vast network of a reverberating wisdom and resonating truth. Have you heard that voice? Can you still hear that voice? Oh God, give me purity, but not yet. So said the young Augustine as he resisted his mother Monica and her Christian witness. One day in his garden, Augustine had one of the most famous self-confrontations in history. Suddenly, I heard a voice from some nearby house. A boy's voice or a girl's voice, I do not know which. But it was sort of a sing-song, repeated again and again. Tolelegi, tolelegi. Take and read, take and read. And Augustine began to search his mind carefully as to whether children were accustomed to chant these words in any kind of game, and he could not remember such a thing. Thus, he arose, interpreting the incident as a divine command to open the Bible and read the passage at which it should open. Doing so, it opened to Romans 13:13. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. listening to the voice. Augustine was changed, and with it, the course of world history. God's voice is spoken most definitively, most decisively in Jesus the Christ, God with us, Emmanuel. But God's voice is also heard in Scripture, in history, in nature, and in our conscience. Can you still hear the voice this morning? Is your heart still open to hearing the voice so clearly that you can be transformed for the world as Augustine was? Can you hear that sound this morning? Is the voice you hear taking you somewhere else? Somewhere so transformative that you will never be the same again? I sure hope so. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Amen.